Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is an ever-present help to the believer, to his witnesses, to comfort them. In his power, when he speaks peace. And by his command, he creates peace in our troubled hearts. And he does this. He comforts his people. He calls us, he keeps us by his power, by speaking this peace in our hearts for a specific purpose. That's so that we can tell other sinners about him and comfort other believers with these words of his power and his grace. Those are the three things I want you to see in our text tonight. Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following, Paul is in a prison. He's being kept right now. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." The night following, the Lord stood by him. The Lord is an ever-present help in all our trouble. Now, the Lord said that you can expect from this world to have tribulation. You're going to receive it from religious folks. He said, the servant's not greater than his Lord. Servant's not greater than his master. As they've treated me, they'll treat you. He said, expect it. Expect it. So much of what Paul did here shadows what our Lord did. Our Lord came to this earth. He came to Jerusalem. Paul went up to Jerusalem. And our Lord was accused of being against the law, being against Moses, being against the prophets. And that's what Paul was accused of. But our Lord wasn't against the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill them. And he was willingly made under the law. He was willingly made sin to be at charges with his brethren, those given him before the world began, to pay what they could not pay to redeem them from the curse of the law. And he accomplished it. And Paul did that. Paul was willing to be at charges with some brethren to redeem them from a law that they couldn't pay to get themselves out from under. Our Lord was taken from prison and from judgment. Men laid hands on him. They smote him. They railed on him. That happened to Paul here. That high priest ordered for him to be smitten upon the face. They began to throw dust into the air. They were, you know what they were doing? They were looking for stones. That's why they weren't just out there throwing dust in the air. They were digging for stones to kill him. And Paul encountered that. Paul went through all that, as our Lord did. And our Lord, when he finished the work God gave him to do, when he cried out, "It's finished," and he himself gave up the ghost, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was in control the whole time of what was taking place. And yet, when he did that, he was laid in a tomb, in a dark place, out of public light. And here we find Paul in a prison, in a dark place, kept by himself. But just as the faithful father, who in covenant agreement was satisfied, satisfaction was made by his son, he declared God the Father just and the justifier of all them that believe. And because God the Father was satisfied, he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. He came to him and he raised the Son of God from the dead, set him at his own right hand. From henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And now our Lord comes to Paul. The Lord Jesus comes to Paul and he raises him. Not resurrects him, but he raises his spirit. He comes to him. The night following, He stood by Paul. He stood by him. That's what our Lord is faithful to do. Trouble's going to come, and he said that. But here's what the psalmist wrote, Psalm 46:1. He said, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we won't be moved. He said, I'll stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from him that condemns his soul. That night the Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. God uses those trials like that to teach us not to trust ourselves. Look over at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul's speaking of another incident that had happened earlier back at Ephesus. But listen to what he says about that. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You know something of that? Where you don't have the strength. You're just in despair. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This is why we face these seasons. You hold your place there in 2 Corinthians 1. We're going to come back there a little later. But our Lord told Jeremiah, he was going into the midst of a people, and the Lord told him, they're not going to hear you. Before he went, he told Jeremiah, they're not going to hear you. This is what he told Jeremiah. He said, I'll make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now that gives you some comfort there if the Lord is by you, if he's by you. Whatever the prison that we find ourselves in, whatever it is, and we have a lot of different kinds of prisons we find ourselves in, whatever it is, it's Christ who's anointed to open the prison to them that are bound. That's his anointing. It's to his privilege, his right, his joy is to open the prison to them that are bound. Under all trials, under all difficulties, under every circumstance, no difficulty. There's no difficulty that we face that's going to alter, change, or hinder his power, his ability to do what he has promised he will do. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. To the believer, to the one that's trusting him, he said, I know the thoughts that I have thought toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And nothing's going to stop him from bringing his people to that expected end. Nothing. Remember that. Remember that. The Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. Here's the second thing. Back in our text in verse 11, Christ calms our troubled hearts by the power of his command. Our Lord speaks peace into our heart. Look at verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Be of good cheer, Paul. Now, this is more than a recommendation. If you're down and I come to you and I say be of good cheer, I'm just simply saying to you, cheer up. But when the Lord speaks and says be of good cheer, you're going to be of good cheer. You're going to be of good cheer. Because his command, his word doesn't return unto him void. When he speaks it in power. And he effectually accomplishes what he commands. He does it. He does it. In that first hour when Paul was converted, look back to Acts 22. He said, He said he was on his way to Damascus, verse 7. He said, and a great light shone from heaven round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It had an effect on him, didn't it? He didn't just speak this, and it had an effect on him. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he says, Them that were with me saw the light, and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And look at the next verse. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? See, he made Paul, this man who was just so hard-hearted and was so sure and was so set on his own way and so delighting in his religion and everything, when Christ spoke to him, he no longer went his own way. Now he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. He brought Paul. Paul was looking at all his outward acts. Paul was looking at, here's what he was looking at. Philippians 3. He says, verse 4. If any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I circumcised the eighth day. This is the will of man. This is mama and daddy doing something for him. This is the preacher doing something for you. This is you being sprinkled, or you being circumcised, or you being dedicated, or you being dipped, or whatever it is that men will do. This is the will of man. I can't save you, and no man can save you. Mom and daddy can't save you. Nobody can save you. But Paul thought this was something. He put some confidence in that. He said, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, this is blood. He was from a long line of good children of Abraham, from a long line of believers. You know his mom and daddy are never mentioned by name in Scripture. You know Timothy's mother's mentioned because she was a believer. Timothy's grandmother's mentioned, she was a believer. But you know Timothy's daddy's never mentioned. They were of the stock of Israel. They were of the tribe of Benjamin. They circumcised him the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But they didn't know God, and neither did he at that time. As touching the law, he said, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This is the will of the flesh. This was him when he got old enough. He took right up where mom and daddy left off, and he took right off in his religion. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was raised up. He was taught by that man that was not sent of God. And he was taught to put confidence in all these things, to put confidence in his flesh. That's the lie. That's the lie. It's not that men don't believe the doctrine of election. It's the lie. Man wants man to be the reason God did the choosing. That's the lie. It's just the doctrine that God irresistibly calls. It's that man wants man's will to be the one that makes the deciding factor. That's the lie. Man's the lie. Man's the liar. If we've made the refuge, if we've made the covenant, if we've done something, it's a lie. It's a lie. But now look what happened. But on that road to Damascus, when the Lord brought him down, this is what Paul said. Paul said he thought he was righteous in Romans 6:7. He said, but when the commandment came, what commandment? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When Christ spoke in his heart, he said, sin revived and I died. And the Lord left him in that shape and left him trembling and quaking and hurting and pining away, and truly for the first time in his life praying and begging God for mercy. And then he came to him just like that man that had been sick of the palsy all that time, and he spoke peace in his heart, and he says, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know what happens when Christ speaks that word effectually in the heart of a sinner? He don't come to the doctrines of grace. He comes to Christ. And he does this right here. He says, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. That's called repentance. That's called repentance and faith. It's called returning from your false refuge, from your lies, from what mama and daddy did, and realizing I love Christ. I have to have Christ more than my mother and my father. They may have been of the tribe of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and I may be a Hebrew of Hebrews, but I count it dung. I don't love them more than I love Christ. I don't have to have them more than I have to have Christ. This is only affected by the power, by the word of Christ speaking in the heart. And he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I don't miss them. It's just dung. That's all they are. That's all it was anyway. That I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death, his death. Now here he is. He's in the fellowship of his sufferings. Here's Paul, and he's suffering just like his Savior suffered for him. He's suffering the very things his Savior suffered for him. But his Savior comes to him, and he says, 20 years later, and he says, Paul, be of good cheer. That word came forth with as much power and affected as much in Paul as that word did that put him in the dust and made him look up to Christ and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? When Christ speaks, this is the evidence is going to be you're going to repent from all your former righteousnesses. You're going to repent from your former experiences. You're going to repent from your former false religion. You're going to repent from your former false doctrine. You're going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And in true faith, you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if his word's true, this is what he said. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. That's what the Lord said will happen. Why? Because he calleth his own by name and he leadeth them out. That's what he does. That's what Christ does. He said, I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. He'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Paul didn't go back, did he? Paul didn't go back. Just as the command came in that first hour, it spoke peace in his heart. Let me show you Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. Look at this now. Mark 4. It says here that this is that account when the disciples had gone over and they were in the ship. And it says, and there arose a, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And look what happened. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly the waves and the wind. No, they feared him. Now, they were calmed in here now. Spurgeon said, if you fear God, you got no reason to fear anything else. Why? This is what he does. He may not cause the wind and the waves to stop around you, but when he says in your heart, peace be still. When he calls you by name and says, peace be still, you'll fear him and you won't fear that stuff around you. Paul's in that prison. And you know what Paul's worried about? Nothing. Not when Christ came to him and said, Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Paul, you know what happened? Paul was of good cheer. He was of good cheer. Of good cheer. That's the one we're talking about. You heard this call. Am I going to hear it? Am I going to hear an audible call? I'll tell you how you're going to know you've been called. When you can't do anything else but turn from everything else and follow him. That's how you're going to know you've been called. If you stay away from him, you ain't been called. But if he calls you, you're coming. And if you're troubled and you're tossed and you're just don't have any rest about you through this trial or this whatever this prison is you're in, you know when he stood by you and when he spoke in peace? When you got peace. When the peace comes. You know who you praise for both? Him. Him alone. He did it. That's who I'm talking about. That's who this one is. Brethren, he saves in power. And he speaks peace in power. And he keeps his people in power. This other Jesus, this one that it don't even resemble this God. Well, I'm going to show you one more thing here before we move to the next point. Look at Isaiah 43. Why is it that you turn? What is it that causes you to turn? The source and the substance of this good cheer is God our Savior seen in the face of Christ Jesus. It's seeing his person and seeing his work. This is what he said. This was the reason. Verse 43, verse 1. Chapter 43, verse 1 of Isaiah. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for, that word means because. Here's the source. Here's the substance of our good cheer right here. For I have redeemed thee. I bought you. I've called thee by thy name. He said, be of good cheer, Paul. Didn't he? Be of good cheer, Paul. I've called you by name. Thou art mine. You're mine. Is God going to lose anything that belongs to him? When thou passest through the waters, he didn't say if, he said when. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? What's the reason? What's the source and substance of all this? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's why. That's why. You see him, when you see him, you will see nothing else as beautiful, nothing else as lovely, nothing else as comely, and everything else will become as a menstruous cloth. Everything. And you'll follow him. You'll be willing with everything you've got to give yourself and follow him. Here's the third thing, back in our text there. Our Lord calls, and he keeps, and he comforts each believer for one specific purpose. Look at our text. He says, verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for, here's the reason, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord saves sinners to save sinners. And the Lord comforts believers to comfort believers. That's his purpose for doing it. Let me show you that back in 2 Corinthians over there, where we were just a minute ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look here in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with what? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm doing that. I'm endeavoring to do that to you. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, Paul followed in the footsteps of Christ to Jerusalem. And he suffered just as Christ suffered. The Lord said his people would. But so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord stood by him. The Lord said, be of good cheer, Paul. And whether we'll be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast. We know this. We know this for a fact, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. No ifs, ands, or mites about that. You're going to be comforted. You're going to be comforted. And the Lord saved Ananias. Remember Ananias said he told Paul, Saul, when he called him, when he called Paul on the road to Damascus, he sent him down there to Damascus, and he sent one named Ananias to him. You know why the Lord saved Ananias? To send him to Paul. To send him down there to Paul. To tell Paul. Look over there at Acts 22, verse 14. It's why he saved Ananias, to send him down there. Verse 13, he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be, and this is why he saved Paul, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. You remember back before this, back when Paul was in Corinth, that Paul was, he was tested, he was down in the spirit, and the Lord came to him, and the Lord said, be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace. And here's the reason he gave to him, for I have much people in this city. That's why he spoke that peace to him, and said, don't be afraid, speak. The Lord comforted him here. Look over in Acts 27. The Lord comforted Paul here for a reason. Look over in verse 22. He's in a hurricane. Waves are coming all in the ship, all over the ship, and the ship's about to be broken up. Look what he says, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You see, everything that God has ever done for me, choosing me, redeeming me, protecting me all my years of rebellion, calling me by his grace, preserving me, growing me, keeping me, is teaching me this word. Every trouble, every trial, every affliction, everything to bring me right here, right now, to comfort you with the consolation that I've been comforted with. Not to speak things I'm talking about in theory. I'm telling you something I know. I'm telling you something I know. And that's why he saves sinners. That's why he comforts sinners, so you can bear witness of him. I've told you the illustration before of when I used to haul hay down in the south, and it'd be so hot, and you'd be out there picking those hay bales up, and they'd be so heavy, the square bales, you know, be just packed so tight, and you're picking them up, and you look down that row, it's just a long row of hay bales on the ground, and you got to get them all on that truck and get to the barn and unload them. But you knew sooner or later you're coming to the last one, and it's going to be loaded up, and when that happens, you're going home. You're going home. As long as we're in this field right here, and this sun is bearing down, and we're in trial, and we're enduring all this suffering that we have to endure, remember this, if you're here, if we're here, it's because God still got some sheep, and he's going to call those sheep out. And that's why we're here. And when the last one's called out, we're going home. We're going to the shade. We're going to the shade tree then. You know, those first saints that you ever heard preach the true gospel, the true Christ, were those feet precious to you? Are you glad the Lord didn't take them out of the earth till they could preach that gospel to you? That's what he told that gathering. He wanted to go with the Lord right then. He said, no, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord's done for you. Go tell them. I was talking to Marvin, Pastor Marvin Stoniker, and he was telling me that, you know, Brother Scott Richardson was scheduled to preach. Marvin was going on vacation down to Tennessee to see his new grandbaby and what have you. And Brother Scott was scheduled to preach that Wednesday night. And Marvin asked him, he said, you think you're going to be up to preaching Wednesday night? He said, yeah. He said, I've got something to say if the Lord's willing for me to say it. And that Tuesday morning, the Lord took him home. But do you realize what a blessing that is to have something to say right up until the day the Lord takes you home? I've got something to say if he's willing for me to say it. That's a good way to go, isn't it? Well, here's the last question. Did the Lord succeed in his purpose for Paul to preach at Rome? Look over at Acts 28. Is he going to succeed in his purpose for you, for me? Is he going to succeed? Look at Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Look down at verse 30. Verse 30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Lord said he would, didn't he? Lord said he would. Said that's why he's preserving him. Calling a ravenous bird from the east and the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, God said. Yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. When he says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart that'll feed you with knowledge and understanding, he means it. He means it. And when he promises to comfort you, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Because I live, you shall live also. That's what he said. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. How am I going to have some assurance? Well, I guarantee you, it's not going to be by something you do. It's going to be by him coming to you and comforting you. And in that day, you're going to know. You're going to know. You abide in him, and he abides in you, and you abide in the Father. I hope that's a blessing to you.